This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Authorities can start sending out ballots by mail to those who requested one as well. Mail-in ballots have to be returned and postmarked no later than Election Day, November 8th. For more on those and other stories, as well as podcasts and videos, visit our website anytime, nowdecatur.com.
This is a Fox News alert. They are still looking for and finding hurricane victims in Florida. I'm Dave Anthony. Ian hit Cape Coral, then Fort Myers first. That's Lee County. The sheriff earlier told ABC's Good Morning America there were hundreds of deaths, but he has since said he fears that is the number. It's not confirmed. Chairman Carmine Marcino also said,
there are thousands of people that are waiting to be rescued. And again, cannot give a true assessment until we're actually on scene assessing each scene.
Now, Ian also hit Charlotte County hard, and Sheriff Bill Prummel just told Fox they have a lot of people to rescue.
We got people that are stranded in their vehicles in water. We got people who are trapped in their homes. Our air unit is up right now getting our eyes in the sky to try and get an overall assessment of the county, and they're reporting back people on their roofs.
Governor Ron DeSantis is giving an update now, and he says there is help on those rescues.
There's 28 large, mostly Chinooks and Blackhawks helicopters between the National Guard and Coast Guard that are already performing these active rescue missions, and there will be more air assets brought in.
Now, he also says there are about 2 million people without power in Florida. And Lee and Charlotte counties are pretty much off the grid, and the reconnections there are
really going to likely have to be rebuilding of that infrastructure. And so there are linemen, there are crews that are on their way down right now.
The storm is now no longer a hurricane. It's a tropical storm, Ian, moving north as it heads toward Georgia and then South Carolina. North Korea has done it again, firing off two more missiles, according to South Korea, and a fourth test this week on pace for a record year. Hours after Vice President Harris visited South Korea, going to the demilitarized zone, the North remains a nuclear threat.
I cannot state enough that the commitment of the United States to the defense of the Republic of Korea is ironclad.
America's listening to Fox News.
From the very beginning, and every workday since, at every shift, and every individual effort, we carry a common purpose, a common cause. It's a duty we proudly honor, knowing behind every product we build is your faith in us. Dedicated to the craft of gun making. Dedicated to your freedom, equality, security, and the promise of this great country. Smith & Wesson. Empowering Americans. Learn more at smith-wesson.com.
It's one of the top 5K events in America today, held on the last Sunday in September. The Tunnel to Towers 5K Run and Walk New York City event. That signature event has inspired about 80 other runs, walks, and climbs across our nation. Proceeds from events, including dozens of golf outings and barbecues, support the foundation's programs. Register for an event in your area. Volunteer to start one. And join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org.
The midterm elections are now 40 days away, and as Republicans hope to win control of Congress, a new Fox poll gives Democrats the edge in two key races that could help them stay in power in the Senate.
In Georgia, the Democratic incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock is ahead of the Republican nominee Herschel Walker by 5 points now in the latest Fox News poll. While 95% of Democrats support Warnock, just 82% of Republicans support Walker. Warnock supporters describe themselves as enthusiastic by 20 points more than Walker supporters. In Pennsylvania, Republican Senate candidate Dr. Oz is closing in on the Democrat John Fetterman. Fetterman is just 4 points ahead of Oz now, with 45% support. But Oz is facing an excitement gap. While 61% of Fetterman supporters call themselves enthusiastic, just 38% of Oz supporters describe themselves that way. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
A prisoner is back where he belongs in Nevada. Porfirio Duarte Herrera was captured last night after the convicted murderer who killed a man in the 2007 bombing on the Las Vegas Strip escaped over the weekend. Nevada's governor has ordered an investigation because Duarte Herrera broke out of prison over the weekend, but it wasn't noticed until Tuesday. In Wisconsin, an update on the man accused of driving through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, killing six people.
Darryl Brooks' trial is set to begin Monday. Waukesha County Circuit Judge Jennifer Doro says she will grant Brooks' request to act as his own attorney. Lawyers wanted him to plead not guilty due to mental illness, but he decided against that. The judge said Brooks' education and lack of legal experiences are among challenges before him. He faces life in prison if convicted. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
We just got an update on the economy, confirming a second straight quarter of a GDP decline, not growth. It was down 0.6% April through June. First time unemployment claims dropped last week to 193,000. On Wall Street, a return to selling is in store. Dow futures down more than 300 points out of the opening bell. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
When you have car trouble and need a tow, trust Shaner's Towing. Shaner's of Decatur is your best choice for business towing solutions in central Illinois. Roadside assistance, farming, towing and recovery, auto repairs and tires and more. If you're looking for a fast and reliable partner for all auto and heavy duty needs, just visit shanerstowing.com. Trust Shaner's and save their number, 875-2200. That's 875-2200. When accidents happen, when you need a repair, trust Shaner's Towing.
Now more than ever, it's imperative that our community stays informed with the latest news updates. Thanks to Hickory Point Bank, you can listen to the live regional information on WSOY via your phone, your tablet, computer, or on your Echo device. Hickory Point Bank reminds you to support your local businesses as much as possible during this time. Stay safe, stay informed, and keep up to date with WSOY's live stream anytime, any place. Brought to you by Hickory Point Bank. Invested. Member FDIC.
Here's Lindsay. Yes, Nick will be back with us on Monday. Everything is good. Here's your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast.
Today, sunny skies, highs near 67 degrees. Then for tonight, partly cloudy and lows around 43. For your Friday, sunshine, highs around 70. And Saturday, sunshine again, highs in the lower 70s. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 43 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:06.
Good morning and welcome. We are literally just a little bit over a month away from the election. Early voting starts today. Regan Deering in the studios with us running for Congress. We'll check in with Eric Lee from the United Way as well. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Chilly start to your day. Beautiful right now in downtown Decatur. Here we are on a Thursday morning. We have a lot to get to. And when does the postseason begin? I think the Cardinals, will they play a week from Friday? Is that right?
Sure.
Okay.
You need Nick back for that conversation.
No, I'm saying it's right around the corner. They clinched the Central Division, so they will make it to the postseason. They're the third seed, so it's going to be a tough row. But we will have tickets to give away for those home games, as many as there are, all the way through and including a World Series, if possible. Courtesy of First Mid, we'll be giving those tickets away. So stay tuned. We'll tell you how you can win those. And we now know also between now and that first Tuesday in November, the ads are coming. There's nothing I can do about it. And we hate it as much as you do. But they're coming.
They're here.
Yeah. Well, I know they're kind of here. But they. Do you think the candidates are... I feel like there's still an old school way of doing things, even though I believe early voting will remain popular, accelerated by COVID. But when people see the convenience of it, you know, and they do it and it's not scary, I think there'll be more and more of that. Yet it seems like a lot of the political operations are still running it like it used to be.
Well, I think you're right. Today's the first day of early voting, and I got my card in the mail, you know, to be able to vote by mail. I know county offices and buildings are open, and throughout all of my seven counties, I've seen information about where you can go to early vote, get in and get it done if you feel committed about your choices.
Right. I think that I get that election integrity is an argument on both sides of the aisle, but we trust our banking account. We trust our, in every other area of life, you know, our life is on a tablet. It's on a phone. You know, why are we so skeptical about voting?
I have always been a same day voter. I mean, I hear you on the election integrity being a discussion. You know, we've got winners and losers every time. So people always want to challenge election results. But I think it's most concerning to me that people are afraid. You know, I think that you're right. We've got good systems in place. Our county clerks are doing a great
job. Josh Tanner does a great job. There's just no question about that. But I feel like the more humans you have involved, the more mistakes will be made, right?
Well, that'll remain to be seen. I have met a lot of people that are signing up to be involved in election day processes, which is great. You know, poll watchers or election judges.
Yeah, as long as they act like adults.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, we've had our history even here of that not being the case. I mean, no one needs to, you don't need to intimidate anybody. You don't need to act like a jerk. There's no problem with having somebody watching and, okay, check and make sure, whatever. That's fine. Just don't be a jerk.
Yeah. They're all universally trained, you know, both sides are represented, and we'll just get through a great day of making sure people get in, get vote, and get on there.
It does seem a little antiquated, though, with the way the priests, I mean, to have that many volunteers, they're not volunteers, they get paid, but they probably don't get paid enough to deal with the general public.
It's a long day.
It is
no doubt a long day.
It's a long
day, but we're glad they're there, and we want to keep as many polling locations open as we can. So.
All right, Regan Dearing is in, running for the 13th. I'll give you this. I talked about this earlier with Paul. You're going to everything, or seemingly everything, which is the same thing if the perception is everything. Why is it important for you to, and what I'll give you a big kudo is that you're not just going to things that seem Republican oriented. You're going to things that are community oriented.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what this job is all about, is representing everyone in your congressional district. And I do have a very large area to cover, stretching all the way from Champaign, Urbana through Decatur here to Springfield, down through rural Macoupin and then Madison and all the way to the river in the Metro East. So we do need to meet voters where they are. I have really enjoyed getting out and meeting new people. I think it's sort of refreshing and a little bit concerning that sometimes people say, you're the first candidate or elected official I've ever met. You know, generally we have to go places to hear them. And, you know me, I'm a people person anyway. So, community events are always top of mind for me. And so now I have an opportunity to go to different towns and participate as well. And that gives me, access. You know, people can ask me questions. We can talk about issues. Just learn a little bit more about me.
What's that like for you then, like just on a given day? Like I noticed Sunday you were at the Chico Hispanic Heritage Celebration Month, mm-hmm. which was a great event. We were happy to be a sponsor of it and well attended. That demographic may run blue, you know, as a total, unless you go to places like Southern Florida where it could be very red. I mean, I don't think any group's a monolithic voting block, but you didn't seem to like, you know, you were just there to enjoy it. You didn't have a blatant big, you know, Regan, you know, t-shirt on. But what do you hear when you go to an event like that? I mean, what do people come up and talk to you about?
Well, that was a great event. And actually, I had attended a monthly Chico meeting a few months ago, just in an indication that's, you know, we're trying to reach all of our voters. And I know that the Hispanic community is growing in Decatur. So
vibrant part of our community.
Absolutely.
That I think people overlook.
Yeah. And I love what they're doing and being able to bring members of that community in and know what their options are and how their community is really strengthening and getting people together. So the event was really fun. I took my daughter, always happy to learn about other heritages, and the dancing was wonderful and the food. But I did have an opportunity to just meet people. Say I'm from Decatur. I happen to be running for federal office. Let's talk about what's important to you here in Decatur. I learned about a great bilingual church.
Mm-hmm.
Help me remember the name. Do you know? It's Prairie.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Oh.
There's another interesting program that's come out of that program is that these interpreters at the hospitals.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, something you don't think of. Mm-hmm. You know, you've traveled around the world. We're very arrogant about, people speaking our language and our, you know, but we would do terrible everywhere else. I mean, most people come here and do way better than we would going somewhere else. But you find yourself in a situation where language is a barrier. And I don't care whether you're from Vietnam or El Salvador, you know, those kind of emergency sort of situations, it's not something that occurs to us in everyday life, but it's a real problem. But they're solving it here in this community.
The ability to train up the medical translators is perfect for this community. I was noting to one of the volunteers that the last time I had gone into my South Shores Walgreens and waited to pick up a prescription, the TV was in Spanish.
Yeah.
And it kind of caught me by surprise, but I thought, this is great. And then, you know, it cycled through and the same message was given in English as well. But I think this community is doing a great job of welcoming people in. And so I've taken every opportunity to continue to put myself out there as well. I mean, I have to introduce people to who I am, what I stand for, and why I'm running. And really, it's mostly because I am a member of this community. I mean, Central Illinois is home to me. And, you know, we have an open seat in the 13th Congressional District after the mapping. And so, you know, I called some of the local people and said, hey, you know, is this seat actually open in December when the maps came out? And we decided that Rodney, who's my current congressman too, was going to run in the 15th against Mary Miller. And they said, absolutely, go for it. You're more than qualified. Be prepared. Let's talk about what campaigning and legislating really looks like. So here I am.
Okay. I want to get to this WGN Emerson College poll. It's the most recent number I've seen, and these are some statewide numbers. You know, but you're not running statewide. You're running in a very specific district. But I want to know if the concerns in this poll match the concerns of what you're hearing from the constituency you're talking about. But first, I want to know, what do you think, if you're elected, you're our congresswoman, you go to Washington, D.C., I don't know what's going to happen in the general as far as what the I don't know what D.C. is going to look like. I think everybody thought they knew 6 months ago. I don't know that we know now about what flips, what doesn't flip. But are you there to represent us, meaning bring home the bacon to us, meaning, you know, funding roads and projects and you know, or are you there on some sort of philosophical thing? Because you don't have to comment on Mary Miller, but, you know, this is a congresswoman who now will represent us, who was the only member of Congress in the Illinois that didn't bring home a single dollar in earmarked money for her district. And that's a bragging point for her. When I think most districts go, what are you going to do? Because we're paying all these federal tax dollars in. We're a donor state. We don't get every dollar back for every dollar sent in. What's your philosophy on that?
Well, you're absolutely right. Being a resident of Central Illinois, that's my primary concern. And that's the great part about so many congressional districts throughout the state. I mean, I'm different than candidates that are up running in Chicago or in the western suburbs or way down south. So I know Central Illinois, and that's what I'm going to Congress to do, is make Illinois a great place. We want to live, work, raise our families here. We want to drive on solid roads and not crumbling infrastructure. We want to bring manufacturing jobs here. So absolutely, my top priority is making good legislation and bringing back good funds here. I've met a number of people, whether that's Chamber of Commerce folks, large-scale businesses, small retail businesses, that are talking about how we can do better for Illinois.
Yeah, I'm very happy to hear that, because it feels like on both sides of the aisle, we're sending people to D.C. to fight these national fights or to fight these. I don't know what that does for the districts they represent.
Yeah,
I mean, I get a philosophical win because you're like on every checkbox. I want to know, what are we going to do about unemployment? What are we going to do about creating jobs? How do we take advantage of what we've learned during COVID and people bringing, that we're sending stuff offshore, bringing it back? You know, we're situated, I think, I really do believe, to take advantage of this economy right now.
Yeah, I mean, Central Illinois is a great economic driver, and we just have to continue to promote. I mean, every day I read great projects happening, TCCI, ADM, Primient, Richland. You know, we're doing all the right things, and that should be celebrated, and we should reward it with additional dollars. I mean, we have great collaborations in Central Illinois between our, you know, city, municipalities, state, and all the way up to federal. And I have watched a lot of that happen, you know, like I said, with Roddy Davis as my congressman, and knowing that there is that great ability to collaborate and bring it back here, because I'm going to go to Washington, but then I'm going to come back home and I'm going to have to answer to people about, you know, what are you doing for us as far as manufacturing? How are you helping in our workforce? And that's what I hear every day on the trail, is people saying, here are my concerns. I mean, here's what's happening in my small town. Here's what's happening in our region. You know, the Metro East is a big area right across the river there in St. Louis. They've got great collaborations going, you know, in the energy sector, the transportation sector, the workforce sector. And so knowing that you are making those relationships, so when you get there and you come back, I've got their phone number. I can pick them up and call and say, okay, here's what we're discussing. Give me your input. You're the expert on this. And so really my foray into politics comes from an authentic place, as far as I want what's best for my community, and I'm a relationship person. So the going out and meeting people everywhere and covering, you know, all the industries is just something that is natural to me and something that I think will serve me really well in Congress.
All right. So this poll I mentioned earlier, just it's the most recent you know, from a legitimate source here that, that says that the literally the number one thing, and this isn't a surprise, is the economy. 35% listing that as number one. Number two, according to WGN and Emerson College, threats to democracy at 17%. Abortion access, 14%. Crime is fourth on that list with 10%. Now, this is a statewide poll, and things will differ, as you mentioned, you know, where you are in the state. Your candidate for governor, you know, at the top of the ticket has made crime a very big deal in his campaign, and, you know, referred to Chicago in any number of ways, which I'm not quite sure benefits him when he's, you know, he needs some of that vote to do anything. But is that, does that stack up list wise with what you're hearing from constituents in the 13th?
I would absolutely agree that the economy is the driving number one. I'd probably even say it's higher than 35%. And I think that that's a good indication of the need for a check on this administration, kind of the out of control spending, because
which administration, multiple, federal or state?
I think the federal administration is driving. You know, we've had Build Back Better. We've had spending, it feels like trillions of dollars just injected into the economy. And some of those pieces of legislation are very good. But when we have these huge omnibus bills and we spend trillions of dollars in a very short amount of time, you know, there's bound to be fraud and waste. And we are, in fact, seeing that play out in record high inflation. So, you know, I think the economy, it drives right down to what are your pocketbook issues. So when I'm traveling the district, of course, that is top of mind from everyone. It doesn't feel like we're getting very much relief.
No, because people are seeing it at the grocery store, at the gas pump. I mean, in every aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think it's probably higher than 35% for most people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot is made about the handouts, and depending on how you describe a handout, you know, yet some of the same people at the top of the ticket took those handout dollars. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard to take that stance when you took the relief.
Well, and, you know, various programs had boundaries and rails and who could apply and who couldn't. You know, there's always going to be people that abuse the system, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, during COVID and some of those, you know, for example, PPP loans is probably what I think you're referring to. I mean, there was an application and we were literally trying to save businesses.
And I think that was the absolute right thing to do.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, I know
knowing that there was going to be fraud. I mean, knowing that some people would try to take advantage of it, I still think it was the right thing to do.
Agreed. I mean, and we went through that process here locally with Northeast Community Fund. And then, you know, we actually paid our employees over 60 to stay home. We didn't know what the situation looked like. We wanted to protect their health, you know, and that of our clients as well. So a lot of us volunteers, younger, were on the front lines, which was good work. We were happy to do it. But, you know, to be able to recoup those dollars was great for a nonprofit. And I know a lot of these small businesses were saved literally from those kinds of dollars. But for sure, the economy is what is really driving most of the conversations, and just knowing, when are we going to get some relief? You know, the cost of groceries are up, gas was down a little, and now it's back up. I had somebody write me that in Chatham, Illinois, down the southern part of Springfield, gas was up 35 cents overnight. And I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, that's just mind boggling. And so, you know, the instability and the uncertainty is really what's driving people, I think, to get out and be motivated to vote for some change. I mean, you know, we all want to have solutions, but for right now, we need to just stop a lot of this spending, a lot of these policies that are driving up the costs.
All right. How much do you, I know that the emails and the press releases, you know, back and forth between candidates, how much do you hear about access to abortion, you know, since Roe v. Wade has been overturned? You know, this is a heavy, our district, you know, Paul wrote about this a couple weeks ago. So many women, you know, running for office, female candidates across the board, which is great. But how, as a female, you know, you're uniquely going to have this argument more than the guys with the wrong genitalia that probably need to stay out of the argument. But what do you hear out there when you're talking to people about this? And particularly, you know, Illinois is maybe not, you know, the same state as others, you know, once this federal, you know, law has been, you know, reversed. But what are you hearing from folks and from women? Because women are driving this conversation.
Absolutely. And it is a topic of conversation. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be one of the top issues for getting out to vote, but it is a conversation being had between my opponent and I. Of course, we're on opposite ends of the spectrum as far as being a pro-abortion versus a pro-life candidate. And I think for me, my position is uniquely designed in that you know, I was adopted as a young child, so I was given the opportunity at life. And I think that as a nation, we generally feel that we want to be able to support life in as many places as we can. Obviously, being a woman, I respect the woman's right to choose, and that being a decision between her and her doctor. I mean, I have filled out candidate surveys, which is kind of what is required of you when you're, you know, thinking about having your platform. I mean, I have exceptions in my pro-life stance as far as rape and incest and the life of the mother. I mean, another thing that my opponent has come out and attacked me on is that Republicans are now going to make, you know, a national ban on abortion. And while that conversation was proposed by one member of Congress, I was in favor of overturning of Roe v. Wade to return the issue to the states. So in the same breath, I don't get to say that I'm going to vote for a national ban.
No, I realize that, but your party's not helping you any when you got a guy running for governor suggesting that women should be charged with murder for having, I don't know why Lindsey Graham, I don't why some of these other people just don't have the conversation you're trying to have, that people can agree to disagree or can be on different sides of the issues, but that you know what this extreme side is, and women are not going to stand for that.
Well, and I don't like using the words extreme also, because in Illinois, we have some of the most extreme pro-abortion legislation on the books, which is why I think Illinois is getting a lot of attention, and we have a governor that is looking for federal funding as well. And that's really challenging to me in a post-Roe world, because if we're talking about federal funding paying for late-term abortions, what are the people in Texas or what are the people in Indiana who are paying taxes think about those dollars coming here to Illinois? So, I mean, certainly at the federal level, we have a Hyde Amendment, which is preventing federal taxpayer funds going to abortion. And I absolutely support that amendment. But, you know, my district is interesting. I have two Planned Parenthood facilities in the southern half of my district. And just recently now Champaign-Urbana is going to receive funding to upgrade for medical abortions at their facility to serve the folks in Indiana. So, I mean, uniquely Illinois is positioned to be sort of,
right,
you know, the oasis.
But what happens the day after election? And if Governor Pritzker is reelected, which I think he will be by a pretty healthy margin, you know, if that's not what if the voters disagree with you, can you learn to sort of live with that and respect that if that's what the people
decide?
That's
how democracy works.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because
which is why I want it to be a state issue. I mean, if we have candidates like myself that are advocating for women and for children, then, you know, we know that we have to then turn to our state legislators, and that's the pressure that we can put on them to be able to try and make a difference. I think, like I said earlier, most people want to find common sense restrictions on abortion.
But there's also a very big difference between even something like the 13th district and looking at Illinois as a total. We had a candidate on last week that suggested the Republicans are going to win 15 seats in the General Assembly and take control. I don't know what world that is. I know there's optimism, but I don't know anyone predicting anything remotely close to that. And I feel like even the folks in the General Assembly, and I realize you're not running for that body, but it's like they've gone so far outside the lines that like they have no power. They can't even get out of the super minority.
No, I agree.
And so, you know, we keep electing people that I feel like are electable in their districts, but so out of touch with what the rest of the state is, I don't see how you gain any ground there.
Well, I've met some great candidates along the way that are running, you know, against incumbents or in open seats at the state level. And it is going to be up to the voters. I mean, I think that all of us are looking for a lot more progress than noise, whether that's local levels, state levels, or the federal level. So, I mean, I myself am advocating for that. You know, bipartisanship can't be a bad word. We have to be able to make sure.
But it is, though. I'm on the extreme sides of both sides of the red-blue dial. There is this idea that if you compromise or if you work across the aisle on your side, you're a rhino. I mean, that's what they did to Rodney Davis. You watch that. I don't think there's anybody in Macon County that's known Rodney Davis for the last 10 years thought he was a bad congressman. I really don't. I think he did his all for the district, but you know, he didn't get the Trump support. He didn't get the MAGA thing, even though he was, I mean, the delineation of his support versus Mary Miller's support was so
really
tiny.
Close. Yeah.
But yet that was enough, you know? So I hope, and I don't want the AOC wing either. I feel like both of those extremes are manipulating both sides of the party to the harm to most Americans.
Well, that polarization was a lot of what was driving me is, look, we're here in Central Illinois. We know what our priorities are and our concerns are. And that's really why I want to go to Washington. I mean, I'm not looking for a Fox News career, you know, in commentary and things. But, you know, when I had a recent trip to D.C., I met so many congressmen and women that I'd never even heard of.
Yeah.
And it gave me hope, thinking, okay, I've had conversations with them. I know that they came from Florida or Ohio.
But they're not on Meet the Press doing the stuff.
Exactly. But, you know, we talked a little bit about what motivated them to go to Congress.
Right.
And, you know, everybody has issues, Veterans Affairs or education or, you know, global affairs, any number of things. And they're there working really hard. And I think Congress, when we have an approval rating of like 16%.
Yeah, it's always funny when the congressional people judge it. Yeah, you're right above like, you know, some really bad categories.
Exactly. And so we need to do better. I mean, in the age of transparency,
but it seems like in today's world, you get punished for that.
Well,
in the political
realm. I'm
going
to let you know how it goes. Once I get elected, I'm going to do my best. I will come back.
I hope so. I really do.
I hope it's not as swampy as it sounds.
But I think, you know, if you get elected, then, you know, it's time to get reelected. That's almost used against you. I mean, I think it's fundamentally unfair, and I think it's bad for democracy. Most people don't live their lives on these, you know, cards with bullet points about red or blue. They live their lives at the gas pump, at the grocery store, paying their bills, getting their kid through school, you know.
Hiring employees.
Or laying off employees, all the realities of life. And I think that has somehow gotten lost into this national rage about, you know, if you're on this side, you're the enemy. If you're on that side, you're the enemy. It's not, we can't have differing point of views or God forbid, come together and have a discussion and understand each other's point of view and come to some sort of compromise. That seems like the ultimate weakness in politics today.
Yeah. And I genuinely have found on the campaign trail that we have so much more in common than we do apart.
That's exactly right.
Those conversations that are driving sort of my motivation to keep going, in knowing, okay, once I get there, I can come back and report to people what we're talking about. I mean, one of the most frustrating things for me, just as a voter even, is looking at these huge bills that come out. And to your point, your voting record is, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because there's plenty of Republican garbage in there. There's plenty of Democratic garbage in there, but the people are feeling left behind. So, I mean, to know that I want to be able to advocate, I mean, what's so challenging about a single issue bill? I mean, we all could use some wins. We could talk about, you know, child tax credits, or, you know, we were talking about the capping of insulin and life-saving drugs. Why can't we have that as a standalone bill? That's a win for everyone. And we don't get caught in all the minutiae and slinging.
But the minutiae is what perpetrates. I mean, it's literally, I think people go there with good intentions. I mean, I really do. And I think they either give up and leave because they find out it's such a cesspool, you can't do anything, or they just become a part of the cesspool eventually. Yeah. And then it's the ends justify the means. Well, yeah, to get this thing I want, I'll have to play this game that I don't want in order to do the thing that I want. And that, I think, is the history of politics in Washington, D.C. Doesn't make it. People can make a difference. People can go there and be well respected. People can go there. I think of Ray LaHood, and think whatever you want of Ray, but when he was there, you know, we would do these Washington fly-ins with the Chamber of Commerce, and he would have Karl Rove and Nancy Pelosi, you know, back to back, because he had those relationships with people. And you know, that seems like a lost art.
Yeah.
Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan used to sit down at the end of a day.
Yeah. Well, politics happens on the weekends, so they say, right?
Yeah.
And we do need to get back to just true statesmanship and knowing you've got a local district here, you know, in my Central and Southern Illinois 13th. And I am out and I'm listening and I'm going to take those concerns to Washington. I mean, what I do know is, you know, I'm here and I want to go to Washington with our concerns. We don't need somebody coming from Washington to relocate to Central Illinois to bring that agenda to us. And that's going to be the real difference. I've got a debate with my opponent next Thursday on the 6th.
What's the format and where and when?
It's WILL, Thursday, October 6th from 7 to 8 p.m.
So there'll be gigantic viewership.
Huge.
A lot of Republicans.
Huge, I'm sure. But, you know, it's just a great opportunity for the people to really see us in the same room. You know, as you mentioned, there's the article writing and there's the, you know, negative advertising that's out claiming I'm a, you know, wealthy, out of touch heiress that has no idea what the people of Central Illinois need or want. And that couldn't be further from the truth. But, you know, to have an opportunity to be in person and really challenge each other to anybody who might be watching. All right, I think it's a great opportunity. WILL.
Here's what I'd like to suggest moving forward is that we have at least a couple of opportunities for you guys to come in here together and not have a debate, but just a conversation. I think debates get stilted and the rules get in the way of conversation. I mean, not a, you know, just a conversation where you have plenty of time. You know, you don't have a 30-second bell or something you got to, like, pay attention to, because I think you're both engaging and incredibly smart people, but with a, you know, completely different point of view. And I think you're in your own ways both in it for the right reason and want to do well by people. So I think people have a choice. And it matters. I mean, this – you can make a difference in this district. Mm-hmm. You can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know in statewide, you know, I mean, that we have much. I feel like we don't have a lot of leadership in Springfield that locally representing us that can get things done. I really don't. I mean, we used to have, you know, across the aisle, all kinds of great representatives that could really get things done. So I think this is important. I don't think we're going to get anything out of the 15th. I mean, I really don't. But I think you have the opportunity, if you win this, to go make a difference. I think one thing Governor Pritzker is doing that I am in complete favor of is leaning into the electrical vehicle realm. And you mentioned the TCCI thing last week or 2 weeks ago. I think that those manufacturing jobs can be developed, and we're really poised to take advantage of that in your district.
Yeah, I mean, they are pivoting and taking a great opportunity to grow that electric vehicle parts manufacturing right here, which is going to bring jobs to Decatur. I think that's great. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see. I see more and more EV vehicles popping up. I laughed because I was hearing a mom who said she got an EV van, and she said, it's not exactly easy to stop and pull over on a road trip with kids to entertain them for another 20 minutes while you're hanging out. So I don't know how that would work in my household, but, we're riding that technology. We're bringing the opportunities right here to Central Illinois, and that is the key. You know, the jobs are going to go somewhere.
Yeah, but to me,
love to bring them here.
What the government can do and what the government actually can do well is infrastructure. That's something, whether it's driving it through, like, instead of doing, gasoline buses or public transportation, charging stations, those kind of things, I think, is where we should be investing money.
Yeah, and we're seeing those opportunities pop up. I mean, Illinois here, we're a pretty fossil fuel driven economy as well, and we certainly can't take those things offline, which is a little bit scary to me, knowing that this governor is advocating for that. I mean, we had CEJA come through, and I worry a little bit about some of those good paying jobs that are in those fossil fuel industries, and I worry about the stability of our electric grid and things as well. So we absolutely need to be innovating, but we also need to be, working with what is available to us. And
you can't take one thing offline before you're ready to be online with the other. I mean,
that's happening here in Illinois.
It's happened in several places. It's part of the problem I have when California just puts an arbitrary date on something, because the government's really good about that. It's like, mm-hmm. We'll set a date so we can tell everybody we set a date. And then whether you're ready to go or you're not ready to go, they'll take credit for it. And if you're not, it has to be a balance. Mm-hmm. But I think that you have some people on the left side of this issue that just want everything to be green tomorrow. And then you got some people on the far right side of this issue that don't ever want to embrace the future at all. And it is the future. I mean, it is.
Oh, it's coming. It's here. I mean, and a lot of those renewables are showing up. I mean, look at just driving north to Bloomington, all the windmills that are there and coming. And I hear plenty of farmers talking about, the pressure they're feeling for solar or wind on their individual farms. I mean, the struggle with that here in Central Illinois is we've got really great soil.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to take that out of production because that leads to any number of fallouts, XYZ.
But I don't think it has to be one way or the other. And I think because that's what the politicians do. They say this claim, and there's no room for any in-between conversation.
Yeah, well, and Illinois is going to be just paying extra because we're going to have to go buy energy from other states. Already have really high gas prices, and we already have really high energy prices. So, it just, to your point, it's we set the goal, and then when we don't quite make it, we press even further without stepping back and realizing, okay, we got to do this in
tandem. Listen, unfunded mandates is what the government is famous for, right? No matter whether it's state or federal or national. So, yes, we got to have some common sense, but you can't be a head-in-the-sand denier either. You've got to know that where we're going.
Yeah,
and I remember...
I've driven in an EV. They're pretty cool.
Oh, listen.
Pretty zippy.
When you hit the it's not the gas, but when you hit the pedal that's supposed to go...
Accelerator.
In a Tesla, you realize that this isn't what we thought, like with Priuses popping up and around. I mean, this is, it's
pretty
there.
Slick.
All right. So when are you meeting with EDC, you know, chambers of commerce, you know, the people who are representing sort of businesses? And,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from them?
My relationships here in Decatur, those have already been built even before I decided to run for Congress. I mean, you know, I have relationships with the EDC, the hospitals, the school board, the superintendent, you know, big business leaders, small business leaders, chamber members. And that's what it's going to take in every of one of the seven counties that I have. And we're doing that. I'm meeting mayors, you know, and they have pretty well done federal agendas. It's kind of nice. Most of them will give you a one pager, you know.
Here's our priorities.
Here's our priorities. You know, we were down in Glen Carbon in Edwardsville, and their chamber set up a business roundtable for me with five individual you know, industries represented, which was great. So I got to listen to them. You know, we're hearing the cost of everything is up, but also workforce problems, you know. And so for me to have that one-on-one time and those small, intimate conversations is really what this is about. I mean, we try and tell people where we are when we go to, for example, a community festival, because not everybody's going to have a seat at a business table or something like that. But, you know, we're going out and meeting farmers. I've felt really honored to earn some great endorsements that have allowed me the opportunity to get in front of people there, whether that's the, you know, the Illinois Farm Bureau or the NFIB. You know, we're filling out questionnaires for the Chamber of Commerce. And so those opportunities are good ones because policy and funding matters to those, you know, industry leaders and those stakeholders in Central Illinois. So I want to know what they have and an expectation for me. You know, some of these one pagers or booklets, I always say, I am a reader. I promise you, I'm not just going to shove it in my bag and carry it around for the next 3 weeks. You know, we spend a lot of time on the road, so I do get the opportunity to then go back and cycle through and see what is a priority. And there are a lot of commonalities throughout Central and Southern Illinois.
Okay. Let's talk about the politics side of this just for a couple of seconds. Are you worried about the ticket? I mean, are you worried about, you know, what happens up top, alongside, down through? I mean, you know, in a nation that seems more red and blue than ever, you know, maybe that's a perception thing and not a reality thing, or maybe the percentage of the smaller voices that are the loudest get all the attention. I don't know, you know, but it seems like the choices are pretty clear. Are you worried about the rest of the ticket?
Well, I am really focused on running my own race. I mean, as I mentioned, I've met great candidates on the Republican side. I've met a few great candidates running for Democratic office, too, that we haven't had super long, engaging conversations. But, you know, good people running for the right reasons. I applaud anyone that puts their name on the ballot, having walked this walk over the last several months myself. But I think that, you know, there is a momentum as a Republican in knowing that we are really motivating people to get out and vote. You know, 2020, I think, disenfranchised a lot of voters, which is most concerning to any of us as candidates, because we do want people to feel like their voice needs to be heard and their vote matters and their vote counts. So when we're on the campaign trail, any of us candidates, we try and collaborate. We're trying to overlap, saying, okay, what are the concerns in these areas? Let's work smarter, not harder. But
yeah, but your candidate for governor at the top of that ticket, you know, up until recently was one of those people casting doubt on the integrity of the election.
Well, you know, everybody's got their platforms.
Yeah, I know, but you can't say people are not trusting when you're feeding that non-trust, and then you go, oh, by the way, now I got to run in a general election, so now all of a sudden it was legit. I mean, people don't have that short of memories.
Yeah, well, and they get to decide at the ballot box. You know, I think that most of the Republican candidates that I have met are primarily talking about being a checks and balances on what we have now. I mean, Democratic leadership in a lot of these small towns and a lot of these areas in the 13th district are leaving their constituents behind. You know, we have abject poverty. We have crumbling infrastructure. We have no workforce. We have really high prices. And so your vote for change means something on November 8th. And that's really what I'm talking to people about. And I think that's what all the candidates should be talking about, is what is it that you see that you can help with, or how are you going to make a difference? And, you know, I'm sure there will be people that vote multiple tickets. Some people are going to vote straight tickets, and that's up to them. But as candidates, it's our responsibility to talk about what we're for and why you should vote for us.
I ask this just out of curiosity and not accusation, because I look at the other congressional district, and we are split. You know, we're not going to have some people will make Macon the argument, County. that having more than one, this isn't a good situation for Macon County. I mean, clearly, I believe you're running for the right reasons. I believe our other one just wants to be a national politician and carry around a Trump purse. I don't think that there's any concern. Hasn't met with anybody in this town, including the mayor or EDC or anyone else, which seems so improbable to me that you'd want to run to represent a district and care so little about it. You're not doing any of that. I just worry that you get lumped into the same category.
Well, the maps are terrible this cycle.
There's no doubt.
And we have actually precincts that are split between congressional districts. So
you got people have no idea who they're voting for till they show up and get a ballot.
That's exactly right, which is why we're working so hard on name ID. Yeah. Because, you know, you do want people to know what you're about. But, you know, running for the right reasons for me, it, like I said, is an organic thing. And it's my responsibility to get out and tell people what I'm about, whether they're a traditional Republican voter, whether they're an independent, or whether they're a Democrat. I mean, when we're knocking doors now, we don't, you know, get a flag and an indication. You're just knocking on doors because you're hoping they're a voter, and you need to tell them what you're about and why you're running. And so I do think that the split between the 15th and the 13th is going to be a challenge, but people that are not voting for me in the 13th, I want them to know that my vote will still matter, because half a mile in and a half a mile out, whether you're voting or not, doesn't mean that I'm not pulling for manufacturing to come right back.
And the whole area, absolutely.
And the whole area. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to matter. It's going to be a close race. You know, it was mapped to favor a Democrat, but we are working really hard, and people are ready for something different. So I have strong expectations to win on November 8th, and really do my job in representing Central and Southern Illinois.
Brigandier, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Have a great day. We're going to take a break. We get back, Eric Lee's going to check in with the United Way. We'll find out what's going on with their campaign efforts on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
At Scott State Bank, we have a lot more than money invested in this community. We've invested our time, our interest, our heritage. This is Todd Jeffers, President and CEO, and the fifth generation of the Scott banking family. Our roots run deep in Central Illinois, and we've been dedicated to this community since 1887. I invite you to check out all the benefits a locally owned community bank can offer you and your business. Being local is a key to our success, and we want to be your community bank. At Scott State Bank, we are customer-focused, community-driven, committed to you. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Experience an event like never before at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater on October 8th. The Devon Untapped Craft Beer and Music Festival will feature tastes of regional breweries, music from two local bands,
and plenty of games.
Feeling special? Check out the VIP party with early entry and exclusive access to rare brews and mouth-watering food. Proceeds from the Devon Untapped event benefit the Decatur Area Arts Council and Decatur Parks Foundation. Visit DevonAmphitheater.com to get your tickets to the Devon Untapped Craft Beer and Music Festival on October 8th.
HSHS St. Mary's Intensive Care Unit will be right by your side.
Thank you for showing up day in and day out and believing in the health and hope of your patients.
You are unbelievably strong as you look pain and suffering in the face
and fight for every patient you serve.
You fought with him each day and you treated him with the utmost respect and kindness.
We are forever thankful for your care and commitment.
HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. We're here with you.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday. Good morning and welcome. And Nick will be back with us on Monday morning. I know we've had all kinds of questions. it was like the most top secret baby in the world.
Yes, it was.
But it's all good. I'm sorry, you're on a different mic.
Isn't everything Nick kind of top secret, though?
It's intentional. It's well planned. It's thought out. It's deliberate. No, everybody's good. Yep. And he'll be back on Monday. In fact, he spent the day over in Champaign with us yesterday with a get-together for Newhoff Media. But anyway, cool. We're back in the saddle. Eric Lee from the United Way in the studios. What is this football thing you are doing? I mean, I know that you got your sports life and your sports world and your United Way world, but you're combining sort of the two.
Well, I mean, obviously there's a very natural connection between the United Way and the NFL, which is heavy on the national level. So we created just a weekly pick 'em. So you can win $100 just by picking NFL games. There's no spreads. There's nothing fancy. Go to Dale South Lake Pharmacy, Coley's Corner Drugs, or Goodfellas Cigar Shop. We got all three areas, north, south, and central, kind of covered. And get a game card and leave $5 and make your picks, and that's 100% to the United Way. And then the top four at the end of the year, we got a prize pot for them too of cash. So it's just a cool thing. Also, big thanks to Blake Reynolds, Main Place Real Estate, who helped us do that, and he's just not a game card location. So.
Okay. Yeah. That was a lot.
Yeah. Bottom line is pick okay. football winners. But
how many games? How many? I mean,
every game but the Thursday game. It's just the NFL slate. Each week you could do this each week.
All right. So you go pick up you have to pick up a new sheet every week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also available on our website.
Okay.
UWDecatur.org. And, we posted on Facebook quite a bit. Eric Kuchke won last week and Ken Hendrickson won week one. And, I think it was Robert the 1 week too. And, drawing a blank there, but
all right. Yeah. So this will go on then through the regular season,
all the way through week 18. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Yeah, I'm not spending as much time with football at the beginning of the year here. It's almost like there's too much.
Yeah.
And it's all new,
especially if you like football enough to pay attention to high school and college. Yeah, you got five really busy days a week.
And a lot of changes, you know, I mean, just in the announcing crews and where that's true. Located. I saw all kinds of memes about old people trying to find the Amazon game, you know, mm-hmm. first weekend.
And the Apple Plus game when pools hit, $699, right. $700. Yeah. Nick kind of called this years ago. The government voted on something that made basically streaming, you know, where they could all set their own rates. And nobody really talked about it but Nick at the time.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the world we're going to go to. And he's pretty much nailed it.
It'll be interesting to see.
I will say this. The NFL is really interesting because the bad teams aren't as bad. And the good teams
is Miami
good.
For real?
They're for real, you know, somewhere from a 9 to 12 win team. But there's like 10 of those teams. So
yeah, there's only one. What are a couple of undefeated teams still? Two?
I think only one. Right?
I thought Tupper said two. It might be there's one 0-3 team
and one 0-2-1. The Texans. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of parity starting to work in.
All right. What's high school football look like right now? I mean, I know you're calling the St. T games on Friday night.
Are we going to have St. Teresa Moreau Forsyth again? Is already the conversation. We're over halfway. We're 5 weeks in. 4 weeks from tomorrow, the regular season will be over. So you know it's steamrolling ahead. Moreau's got a couple really tough road matchups coming up with Williamsville and Athens. But no matter what happens to those games, it would be one heck of another postseason matchup between those two teams. Mount Zion's a very good 4-1. Central A&M is, I believe, 3-2 now, as far as our county goes. MacArthur's 3-2. We're got some playoff teams. The darling has been Sullivan Oak Hall Valley out of nowhere, and that's who St. Teresa will play this week. They're kind of out of nowhere 4-1, which is really good for them. They didn't even have a team last year.
Listen, this is all I know. I get a text on Friday night, and it just looks like a blowout every Friday night.
It is a blowout every Friday night.
Okay. Yeah.
And even this week against that much better Sullivan team, probably going to be a blowout again. This is, why they've been, not so kindly asked to leave the conference because this is it's too much winning. Even though Tuscola has more conference titles since they formed the CIC, St. Teresa's winning too much.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more things at play than some people.
It's like the American League just saying, Yankees, we're not going to have you anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it would be like.
Yeah, I don't get it.
We can't compete with you.
So Friday night, what time?
6 o'clock pregame show. I'm sorry, this is a road game. So 6:30 pregame show and, Bulldogs and Redskins from Sullivan.
All right. From Sullivan.
Next week will be, it's homecoming. So there's going to be
how's the new track, the new field? How's all that look? I just saw pictures. I haven't seen it in person.
The field's gorgeous. It's really going to pop when they get the track down and cause it's going to be orange. I think I can say that on the air.
Well, you just did.
Yeah. I don't think I'm breaking anything. But, yeah, that was starting to be late, I believe, a week ago.
All right. Because
they get out there and, I guess, they put the tracks down by hand.
You're a baseball guy. You got to watch Facing Nolan on Netflix.
I noticed that last night. I watched the preview of it.
It's really good.
I think it was, I've already been told to go watch it a couple times, so looking forward to that.
I just think we see things in life we don't recognize as the time of seeing it that it will never happen again.
Yeah. Well, I think there's without a doubt that strikeout record's not getting touched.
I mean, there's no hitters. Pitchers are lucky to get through four innings today, and he would kill somebody before being pulled out of a game.
Yeah, it's like Ripken's streak. We know too much about science now.
Well, the home run. I mean, will anybody else get to 700?
There's a chance they don't. I mean, that was my
tweet. If you look at the active players on the list that are on the list, they're so far out.
It's part science, but also. What people don't realize, I think a lot of people, it's really easy to say, everybody's swinging for the fences in baseball now. That record's going to get run down. But you got guys getting hurt because they are swinging with so much power and torque. Tatis has been injured twice, and now he's on the cheating list. The guys that can do it consistently, eventually this game's going to cycle back around to where there's just not going to be home runs. We'll get back to small ball one day.
All right. And I'm going to take the break here, Lindsay. But if you look at, like, strikeouts right now, right? Yeah. Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander are the highest active players on that list. They're 13th and 14th on the all-time list.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, but they're half of Nolan Ryan's total. And they're at the end of their careers.
And this isn't a strikeout era. I mean, every year the strikeout record as a league, it's broken, but it's just nobody's going to throw 35 starts anymore and go into the seventh and eighth inning on average.
Clayton Kershaw, right?
Yeah.
You know, he was at the end of his career. Yeah. Has 2,794 strikeouts to Nolan Ryan's 5,714.
When he had 2,000, there was a good debate, and I think it was on Cowherd. He might be the last 2,000 strikeout pitcher we ever see. His offense has been so aggressively.
Yeah. Bob Gibson, Pedro Martinez, Justin Verlander, and Max Scherzer all over that 3,000. Kurt Schilling and Sabathia as well.
Yeah.
John Smoltz just barely. So
not to mention the money in the sport. I mean, these guys are getting rich so fast.
He was the first million-dollar athlete of any sport.
Nolan Ryan?
Yes.
No kidding.
I'm just telling you, it's a walk down memory lane. You got to go see it. Even the whole fight, I didn't realize that the White Sox had a $500 bounty that if you got hit by Nolan Ryan in that game, you were supposed to charge the bounty. If you didn't charge the bounty, they were going to fine you $500.
I didn't know the $500 part.
Yeah, because he starts to go to first base and then like realizes.
You could tell he's like, I don't want to do this.
And then he really didn't want to do it.
I was watching that game live, actually. I remember that. Yeah, but I remember it was heated. Coming into the game, those two teams, it wasn't a Nolan Ryan thing. It was these two teams are throwing at each other thing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, somebody's going to have to charge Nolan Ryan, who's, 44 at the time?
Yeah. Eric Lee, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Good to see you guys.
All right, we'll take a break. Back with more right after this.
Today we got sunny skies, highs near 67. Tonight, clear, lows around 43. Then Friday, sunshine, highs near 70. And Sunday, sunny highs near 73 degrees. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 45 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:56.
Did you know one of the many ways the Community Foundation of Macon County supports our community is through grants? Hi, this is Rachel Moran, Director of Communications for the Community Foundation of Macon County, and I'm here to share that we are accepting applications for our Impact 100 grant from September 1st to October 1st. Each year, the Impact 100 grant supports nonprofit programs that build capacity and support individual and community well-being. This year's funding focus supports mental health, social enrichment, and engagement programming. Nonprofit organizations are encouraged to apply. The Community Foundation of Macon County and its donors are committed to strengthening our community and creating a better quality of life for all. It is through the generosity of our donors that programs like the Impact 100 grant sustain Macon County for generations to come. For more information on the Impact 100 grant, please visit our website at MaconCountyGives.org or call 217-429-3000.
At LLCU, we love football, and it's time to drive to the end zone. Come into LLCU, pick a football, and receive an auto loan rate discount anywhere from 0.15% to 1.00% off our already great low loan rates. Get pre-approved or refinance and save with rates as low as 2.70% APR. Promotion ends October 31st or while footballs last. So hurry in. Visit LLCU.org for details. Land of Lincoln Credit Union. Bank on learning more. Rates and terms subject to credit. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Get in gear this fall with 11% off everything at Menards. Finish cleaning up your garage with help from ShopVac. The 5-gallon stainless steel wet dry vac can tackle the toughest messes, wet or dry. Save 11% on all ShopVac products. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through October 2nd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
That's it for us. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early, 6 a.m. Have a great day, and thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If you're missing the show, podcast, driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group, available everywhere you get your podcast, including Nauticator.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
WSOY Decatur and W277 DB Decatur. WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. Millikan Community Arts Academy has expanded its programming to include group sessions and classes that cater to a variety of interests. This fall's calendar includes offerings for novice and experienced musicians, as well as theater and exercise classes. Check out the full schedule at nowdecatur.com. The Devon on Tap Festival is coming to the amphitheater on Saturday, October 8th from noon to 3. Enjoy music from Bad Medicine and 8 Up as you taste samples of craft beer from area breweries and samplings from around the globe. VIP tickets are $75. Regular adult admission is $35. Those under 21 or who are willing to be the designated driver can get in for $10 with...
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.